this section is going to be approximately 25 minutes. As we've explored in Chapter 3, after several decades of exploring autonomy and seeing its limitations, its strengths, a pervasive loneliness starts to settle in, and a new challenging demand, a desire starts to emerge around being more connected, finding more enriching relationships with others as well as the world itself. And hopefully your study of this chapter has illustrated how the problem is rooted inside of the question that we find people asking themselves is, how do I create more connection? And that question appears very innocent and unassuming. However, intrinsic to that question is the central challenge of autonomy. It's, how do I create more connection? And it's the I that is separate from the creation of more connection. And right there is an ongoing and pervasive challenge that can take many, many decades to penetrate. So we're going to be looking at fourth order to fifth order transitions, or the transition from the self-authoring mind into the self-transforming mind, which I'll refer to here as fourth order consciousness and fifth order consciousness. But as you might guess, as we look into loneliness, as we look into this desire for more connectedness, there is an increasing interest in community. And most highly autonomous individuals who've spent many decades grooming their own autonomy and refining and polishing it, at some point they become suspicious and a little bit wary of their own autonomous functioning in life. And they don't quite trust that separateness anymore, yet they're very uncertain on how to build or create this connectedness that their heart desires. And so as we turn towards community from this new orientation, we find a common theme here. I'm going to label it as conscious community. It's highly autonomous individuals who are returning back to community in search of something very important. Now, conscious community, we're going to unpack it with some rigor here. And the reason why is because conscious community attracts not just people transitioning from fourth order consciousness into fifth order. As you may recall, the third order consciousness, the socialized mind, is also deeply, deeply invested into community. Why? Because they are actually structured by culture. The community around them is the holding container for their psyche. And so they are going to also be attracted to conscious community for varying reasons. But this gives rise to two particular agendas that are important for most forms of conscious community. The first agenda that is rooted in the third order consciousness, which is embedded in a desire for us to share the same assumptions, to share the same preferences, for us to be as similar as possible. And that third order component of conscious community gives rise to conformity, uniformity, and the similarity or sameness of us as a community. And they're invested in this conformity because That is what helps structure and organize their experience. So this is a third order phenomenon. The second agenda that we'll see is you'll see a tremendous amount of emphasis on personal responsibility and including everyone's perspective. So these are often more rooted in the fourth order capacities. And for the individuals who are often the leaders in conscious community, they're usually transitioning between four and five, usually. And they are absolutely clear that, one, we're absolutely not going to get rid of personal responsibility. That is a non-negotiable. And they're also really interested in including everyone's perspective. And we'll return back to this because it's the inclusion of everyone's perspective, the way that fourth and fifth order individuals approach it, the way that individuals bridging these two stages approach it is different from your more conventional way of kind of being willing to listen to everybody's perspective. But this particular arising of two agendas, one on the conformity and uniformity of the culture and the cohesiveness of the group, that is a foundation, which is more of a third order phenomenon. But the fourth order capacity of including everyone's perspective should, at its heart, welcome in greater diversity and actually welcome conflict. Should actually welcome conflict into the culture. Depending on the conscious community that's surrounding it, that may or may not be happening. But let's look at authority and leadership. Oftentimes, the individuals who are bridging between fourth order and fifth order are suspicious of and mistrusting of authority that resides within any one individual. So conventional leadership is often tabled. It's not actually welcomed in the conscious communal space. And pretty much most of the conventional means of leadership are abandoned. And what we find is more consensus-oriented decision-making, which is both refreshing and incredibly frustrating. Both tend to be quite true. The third order person actually is often attracted to this non-conventional leadership approach because they feel more included and more welcomed into the direction of the community, and that actually helps lower anxiety and build trust and so on and so forth. The individuals bridging between fourth order and fifth order often have this aversion or allergy to the more conventional autonomous forms of leadership. And to be clear, this 4-5 allergy, as I'll call it, is an essential part of post-conventional development beyond the self-authoring mind. And this allergy, this distancing and differentiation from a psychological collusion with a subjectivity that is now inherently limited. So we're creating more space for individuals to relate to groups and the complexity of groups in a new way. The problem is that the third order individual, their leading edge of development is for them to actually become more autonomous, more inner directing, for them to inhabit their self-authoring mind. This is their developmental future. Yet when they are embedded in a quote-unquote conscious community, they will actually cut off their own developmental future, simply because in the culture that they're embedded, it is not welcomed. So while the individual's bridging from fourth order to fifth order, they're actually genuinely working their developmental edge. And many of them are healthily focusing on evolution, development, and the cutting edge of cultural evolution. But they've got an interesting mixture on their hands that's often not quite seen. And the presumption that conscious communities is on this leading cusp of development is in part true, but it's also in part not true, because the younger or less developmentally advanced stages that are inherent in that culture, they have a tremendous disadvantage. So these third order individuals, the individuals who are more firmly rooted in their own socialized minds, they're signing up for a culture that will in significant ways imprison and stunt their evolution and ongoing development. And any developmental psychologist will tell you there simply is no skipping of stages. Right? So taking somebody in third order and plunging them into a culture that is bridging between fourth and fifth isn't just going to catapult them into a 4 or 5 transition themselves. Now it may, but oftentimes it results in a stagnated developmental process for them, precisely because the individuals that are leading these communities are often the 4 or 5s, the individuals who have the greater developmental complexity, and it's really not a competition, right? They are the ones that are sculpting the culture and creating the culture around them for their own needs, and this is an important piece. They should be doing that, yet at the same time, they need some higher ordered, more purely fifth order orientation that has a vantage point that can see these dynamics and can in many ways reintegrate the more traditional leadership styles, the more conventional autonomous ways of being, so that there becomes a nice healthy wave from third to fourth into fifth. And this is ideally what we're aiming for inside of conscious community. But it's a pretty rare phenomenon, at least as far as I can tell. So let's unpack consensus decision making. First, consensus decision making drives traditional, conventional, autonomous ways of being absolutely crazy. They cannot stand it. It is so immensely inefficient. And they would be much happier simply commanding the space themselves or challenging somebody else to step in and take control of the situation. But for the conscious community that has a good firm boundary, like that's not what we're doing here, that capacity won't be exercised. So your fourth order individuals usually leave the conscious community at this point if they're not actually included. The individuals left are usually a mixture of people in these 4 or 5 transitions, and perhaps kind of a third order center of gravity, maybe starting to bridge into some fourth order. But for the individuals who are bridging between the self-authoring mind and the self-transforming mind, they are listening and looking at the group from a different orientation, which is why they can tolerate the inefficiency, because they're actually curiously leaning into and looking for and sensing and feeling into what is going to discover the group. They're actually not interested in what is everyone going to agree upon. But through the process of dialogue, they are looking or sensing or feeling into what is that novel emergence that is going to happen amidst this discourse. And they are patiently awaiting for that. So they're looking for a emergent quality, a novel property that doesn't necessarily belong to one person per se, but it appears to emerge through the group, through the dialogue, through the exchange of listening to everybody's perspective. And usually, if we listen carefully and if we allow enough open space, which most 4 or 5 individuals transitioning here have those capacities to do, something emergent will capture their attention. And not just their attention, but usually the group's attention. And it's not a consensus orientation, but it's just something that's got a rich, beautiful texture to it. And this is what those individuals trust. This is what they actually are hungry for. All of a sudden, they feel more connected with something that's broader than them, that's more inclusive than their own autonomous agenda and their own autonomous will. And based on that emergence, they will then work diligently to then co-create and kind of co-facilitate a path forward for more conscious community. And so this is one of the core features of fifth order leadership that we haven't really explored in the text per se, but I wanted to give you a sense of it. And fifth order leadership is very firm in its ability to stand strong that I or nobody else in this conscious community is going to take hold and lead from that inner-directed, self-directing, autonomous seat of consciousness. They're actually very clear and very firm on this boundary. And in doing so, they can actually invite a broader engagement with the group, with the team, with the conscious community. And this means of co-creating and discovering or being discovered by something that is more elegant than any one of them could create on their own, and certainly much more elegant than something that they can all agree upon. But this is at the heart of what is going on around conscious community. And I thought it would be an important piece to unpack, because there's a tremendous amount of confusion and uncertainty in terms of what is actually happening in conscious community with these individuals leading the 4 or 5 transitions, because they're not conscious of where they're going. It's what Wilbur calls the emergent unconscious. Like, none of us actually can see the next developmental stage that we're trying to grow into. It's actually not possible for us to actually see it as an object. It's unconscious, it's frothy, it's mysterious, it's unknown. We can feel it and sense features of it, but we can't quite identify it as an object yet. So hopefully this will help bring some more clarity in terms of engagement with conscious community, if you happen to be engaged in that. And For those of you who are in leadership positions, you can start to listen and invite dialogue, not towards consensus decision making in the traditional sense. You don't need to necessarily go that way. But the question is how do I engage the group? How do I engage a dialogue that starts to bring in the various different perspectives that are present and starts to invite and harness and yoke in the diversity that's within the community that you're in? And based on that intersection, there's an interweaving or meshing of diversity. Some novel ingredient, some novel emergent starts to happen. And then you lead around that energetic center. Or perhaps there's two or three different energetic centers, and you would then kind of coalesce people's energy around these few novel emergent qualities. So to close, I want to circle back on aloneness and this ongoing drive for greater connectedness. And we spent quite a bit of time focusing on conscious community just because it is such a prevalent emergence for people bridging from 4 to 5 and this returning back to community. And there's good reason why there's an additional focus upon social connectedness or social relatedness, turning back towards that. And there's tremendous richness and wealth of experience and direction and leadership and intimacy that can be yoked out of conscious community. But this focus upon social relatedness or social connectedness, it clouds a broader permeability or an interpenetrating subjectivity as we've explored in the text. So for those of you who are bridging this 4 to 5 transition, do not get intoxicated by community. Yes, you should be returning back to community. Yes, you should be re-engaging in it in new and different ways. However, your social connectedness is not going to be the source of your larger connectedness to life. And what I see happening quite a bit is people get almost completely consumed into their own human relations. And fifth order complexity, the self-transforming mind, is not just interested in you becoming more connected socially. It's actually interested in you being more connected to every facet of life that's emerging. So this permeability or this interpenetrating subjectivity is something that should absolutely be showing up in your social connectedness, but it should also be showing up in your connectedness to just the environmental space surrounding you. It should also be interpenetrating the private interior conceptual landscape or emotional landscape inside of you. It should be opening towards all of life inside of you, outside of you, privately, as well as what's happening culturally and relationally. That permeability and interpenetrating subjectivity has no boundary in terms of where it shows up. And when we collapse our attention and focus exclusively upon conscious community or just this social relational domain of experience, we are insulating ourselves from precisely that which we're most hungry for, which is not just a greater connection with this person over there, with this group, but with ourselves and life as a whole.